It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 328, entitled Major Technical Gremlins at the Big Love Seat. It was recorded on Monday, the 31st of March, 2025. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and today I'm joined by my co-host Michelle Frechette, but I'm also joined by Corey Mass and Bob Don. We are a WordPress podcast, and so guess what? We talk about WordPress. We have quite a long conversation about accessibility and AI, and in all honesty, that dominates probably about half of the entire episode. The other thing which dominates the episode is my refusal to stop saying the words pagebuildersummit.com. I'm trying to promote that event, and it was somewhat relentless, and I apologize for the amount of times that I said it. We're also promoting the WPLDN event happening. Oracle is going to be the custodian of Bluehost data into the future. There's a call for a new host city for WordCamp Europe. Wait for it, in 2027. Contributor days, should they be a bit more like a hackathon? Remke Stavris has some thoughts on that this week. There's a few other bits and pieces packed into there as well, including several bits and pieces that Michelle is doing around creating videos with speakers whose presentations have not been accepted for WordCamp Europe, and also a video podcast which she's putting out. And also, towards the end, my video goes hysterically wrong. Everything just seems to break, and it's quite a comedy moment. We'll have to see if any of this is actually usable. But if it is, it'll be starting in just a moment. And it's all coming up next on This Week in WordPress. This episode of the WP Builds podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. And by Bluehost. Redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And by OmniSend. Do you sell your stuff online? Then meet OmniSend. Yes, that OmniSend. The email and SMS tool that helps you make 73 bucks for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try OmniSend today at omnisend.com.
Hello there, and welcome to episode number 328 of This Week in WordPress. I've just realized how profoundly unfit I am. I went to get a banana, and during the course of the banana, I must have gone up about eight stairs. Yeah, exactly that. I've been up about eight stairs. That's all I did, and I'm absolutely finished.
but they're English stairs. They're much bigger than your average.
Yeah, tremendously difficult on the legs and heart, the British stairs. Yeah, that's a good point. It's This Week in WordPress 328. Let's begin again. I'm joined, as always, to talk about the WordPress news from this week. It's a bit like getting around the fireside and having a chat. It's a bit of a campfire moment. And I'm joined this week by three fabulous people. Over there, we have the co-host for this week. It's Michelle Frechette. Hello, Michelle. How are you doing?
Hello. I'm very well, thank you.
Yeah, good. Michelle, as you probably know, is the executive director at PostStatus. And in addition to working over at PostStatus, Michelle is the podcast barista at wpcoffeetalk.com, co-founder of underrepresentedintech.com, creator of wpspeakers.com, and also WP Career Pages. She's an author, frequent organizer, and speaker at WordPress events. And she's got a new idea. which we're going to hear about a little bit later, to help.
Kicks off tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. It's a really neat idea. So we'll get into that in a little bit. Thank you. Something new coming from Michelle, which will be nice.
Yeah.
I'm also joined. Let's go. What would that be? Clockwise, I think. So let's go there. That's Corey. Corey, where's the hat gone? Look, Corey. Corey never wants to miss a promotional opportunity there. I like exactly. that. He's got his branded mug. What does that mug say by any chance, Corey? Tell us what the logo is on the mug there. Oh, look at that. That is O-M-G-I-M-G.
It spells swag. It's what it spells.
Yes. Corey is, as you may have discovered, he's the creator of O-M-G-I-M-G, which is a plugin in the WordPress space to help you create your sort of featured images and things like that all inside the WordPress editor. And he's also a WordPress freelance developer. Anything else you want to add? Hat wearer, I would say.
Apparently today I'm wearing a chapeau. This is actually my father-in-law's. I'm having this app has the video where like I tilt my head that way and I see it go that way, right? But if I mirror, then like all the words go backwards.
Oh,
and so it's really freaking me out that I can't get the hat exactly straight.
Oh yeah, all right, yeah.
Every time I twist it, I go the wrong way.
I know exactly what you mean. I've kind of
like a funky Brewster.
You just went from golfer to caddy in like 2 seconds.
Over many years, I've managed to teach my subconscious mind that if I want to see Michelle, it's over there. And Bob's easy because he's down there and anyway, it took me ages.
Yeah.
But the same thing. If I want to adjust the cap, I still get that wrong. I have to basically deliberately go one way and see what happens and then go the correct way. I don't always get it wrong. You know, the old USBs, like, you know, these ones? These USBs, the sort of square ones, the old-fashioned ones that look a bit like that. The
old-fashioned ones, yeah.
How many times, how much of your life did you spend trying to get it in the wrong way, and then you flip it around and you put it in, and only to discover that the first way was, in fact, the right way?
Always three times, yeah.
Yeah, the phrase is 50-50 chance and wrong 80% of the time.
Okay.
I like it.
I'm glad I had that prop to hand. That's brilliant. Anyway, there we go. There's Michelle. There's Corey. And finally, joining us from Portugal is Bob. Bob Dunn. How are you doing, Bob?
I'm doing good.
Very nice to have you with us. Bob is the founder of the Do The Woo podcast. He loves open source and community. He wears a lot of hats, both figuratively and literally. Yeah, honestly, Bob, like your podcast network, let's call it that these days. How many shows have you got now?
Let's see. I think it's 13 shows and what is it? I think 28 hosts.
I like to joke that I'm the only WordPresser who doesn't co-host one of Bob's shows.
Yeah. So if you haven't listened to the bits and pieces that Bob is doing over at Do The Woo, definitely go and have a look because it's gone bananas with different shows over the years. So there's now basically a show for everything. You know, if you're in the WooCommerce space or indeed the WordPress space, there's a show for all of the different bits and pieces. And have you kind of pivoted then? Has your role become more of a kind of podcast manager, for want of a better word?
Yeah, I mean, that's what the intention was, to stay off the mic and put other people there. So
nice.
It's come that way. But then I started this. I finally decided I needed to kind of get back into a regular thing. So I started, we haven't started it, but it's called Content Sparks. So I'm going to be co-hosting every month with four different people. Ray from the repository, Chris, who does the video, the YouTuber.
Okay.
And let's see, who else? Derek, who is actually works on the project team at Automatty, and Robbie Adair, who's been there a while. So one's going to be more around media, one's going to be around video, one's going to be around AI, and then content management. So
nice. Well, if you want to check it out, go to Do The Woo, dothewoo.io to find out more. So there we go. There's our panel. If you're joining us today and you fancy making some comments, a few people have done that. Thank you. Appreciate that. So this is Ryan. Ryan's joining us from Influence WP. Hello from Charlotte, North Carolina. Thank you. Max is also joining us. He says from Berlin. We're joined also by Dave. I'm guessing Dave, friendly web guy. Hello from sunny Berkshire, UK. And he has, I don't know why, I just need a banana. It's like my crutch these days, Dave. If I don't have a banana when the show begins, it's like folly. There's no point in carrying on. And Cameron is greeting us just with the word greetings, but he's probably in I'm going to say Queensland, because Brisbane is where he normally hangs out. But there we go. And also by Andrew Palmer. If you fancy joining them and you want to get your, you know, your thoughts and opinions on the show, feel free to do that. The best place to send your friends and colleagues is here, wpbuilds.com/live. Over there, you've got two choices. On the right, if you're on a desktop, is a box, a comment box, and it's YouTube comments, so you need to be logged into some Google account. But if you actually click on the video itself, top right, I think in a little black button, it says live chat or something like that. You can click into that, and you don't need to be logged into anything. Just type in your name, and you can give us a comment. So that's quite nice. And who else have we got? Hello, Nathan's going bananas, and ciao, says Jackson from Brighton. Going to feature you in a minute, Jackson, so stick around. That'd be nice. Your face is going on the screen. Fun fact, I haven't lived in Brisbane since 2017. Okay, that is that is a fun fact. Where do you live now, then, in that case? Oh, I feel bad. Some of my favourite people all in one place. This is going to be a good week, says Marcus Pinner. Thanks, Marcus. We're going to be talking about Bluehost in a minute, Marcus, as well. So there we go. Okay. Let's get stuck into it, shall we? So we are a WordPress podcast, so we're going to talk about the bits and pieces going on in the WordPress space for the last week. Let's start here. This is our website, wpbuilds.com. We produce two podcasts each week. You can find them by clicking on either the WP Builds article or the This Week in WordPress place as well. And they're both archives of the different shows that we're doing. You're watching This Week in WordPress or listening to it now. And the WP Builds podcast, well, that's a podcast that we put on each week, and I interview somebody in the WordPress space. And, you know, it just goes on and on, doesn't it? It's like never ending. 415 episodes we've got so far. The latest one is with Sir Tim Nash. He's not really Sir, but in my book, he's Sir. And we had an episode all about the transition of WordPress towards Bcrypt for hashing passwords. It was a bit of a tinfoil hat episode, but that was quite nice. But if you're in the space and you fancy finding out what we're doing each week, if you put your email into this box here and click the submit button, we will send you an email twice a week to let you know when we drop new content. A big thank you to our sponsors who help keep the lights on. We've got GoDaddy Pro as a sponsor, and Bluehost and OmniSend. And so thank you to them for keeping the bits and pieces going. I think that's the introductions over. Yeah, we've done that. Okay, let's get stuck into it. Let's get the ball rolling. And first one up is something Michelle brought to the table. Michelle came up with the idea recently of, instead of putting the bits that the guests bring to the show at the end, where they often get lost, why not just put them right at the beginning? So that's what we're doing.
Damn right.
Yeah, damn right, says Corey in agreement. Great. Okay. So post status, Women in WordPress. It is on YouTube. Tell me about this.
Yeah. So first of all, if you would refresh, you'll see that I fixed all the titles so they match now. But before somebody comes at me and says, hey, I know, right? So March every year is Women's History Month, and then also includes International Women's Day. And I thought, why not interview some women in WordPress so that the, you know, the community can find out how fierce, how strong, how many, that kind of thing. And I assumed I'd maybe get 10 or 15, and you only see four on there right now because I'm still in process of uploading. But I've had over 50 women reply to me, and I've recorded very many episodes of this. They're anywhere from 5 to 12 minutes long. I'm usually about 5 or 6 minutes. And it's just, I ask the same questions, same 3 or 4 questions to every woman, and they give me their answers. And I have interviewed now at least one woman on every inhabitable continent in the world. So it's these women, they're blowing my mind. We are even fiercer than I anticipated as far as a force to be reckoned with, underrepresented groups. And so rather than do this through any other means, I wanted this to be part of post status. I was only putting them out on social, and then I thought, no, this needs to be a series on YouTube. So I've been adding them to YouTube. And I have two more going out today and about 40 more coming. So it's just, I've been so overwhelmed at the wonderful response. So many women that I've never met, I have no idea who they were, and they answered the call. People shared it. I had nobody from the African continent, so I used Marcus's VP World and went on and did a little search through all the people that were there, connected with one person who connected with me with more. So now I have several women from the African continent as well. It's just, it blows my mind. So this is going to be more than a monthly thing. This is going to carry me throughout the whole year, and I want to continue to tell the stories of women in WordPress, including trans women, by the way. I've also interviewed two trans women. So this is all inclusive of all women in WordPress. Nathan. You are muted, Nathan.
Quite right, I am. Sorry about that. I was muted, yeah. That was weird. I don't think I did that. Okay, anyway, who cares? Did you only put it onto YouTube? I say only. Is that the place to find it, or can I search for that in a podcast player of choice as a sort of, would it be part of the post status feed is what I'm asking, I think.
It probably will be at some point. I just have to figure out how we do that, because I do a lot of podcasting, but the feeds is something that's really perplexing to me.
Well, Bob's all over it. He can school you in that when we finish. I'm sure he's got 13.
They do get picked up and put through on our RSS feed. So these are not on our website yet. So I imagine once they are, then that will happen there too. But at the very least, they're on all our social medias. I'm publishing them across the board in our social media channels. And then also, again, this playlist in YouTube.
Well, as you can see, Max is saying it's a really nice project, really great project. That's great.
Thanks,
and
Max.
I will put the link in the show notes. So because YouTube always has horrible URLs, doesn't it? So it's just a string of pseudo-random letters. So, Say again.
How do you pronounce that URL?
Okay, this one is... that would be fun.
If you go to Post Status's YouTube and you go to playlists, there is a playlist, Women in WordPress.
Let's go with that.
That's the easiest way to find it right now. But yes, if you would include it in the show notes, that would be lovely.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. Okay, so there we go. There's our first item, Post Status, so cool. Women in WordPress series. 4 episodes at the moment. And I'm looking at them, and something that appeals to me is you've gone brief, haven't you? Rather than doing like the whole hour-long thing, which is what I often do, gone for the sort of sub 10 minutes, which is quite a nice little sweet spot. Yep.
The reason is I wanted them to be consumable on social media. And if they weren't very long, they wouldn't be. So the whole idea was I was just doing them through social, anticipating a small amount of people. But with this many women, I decided we're still going to keep them brief, but they're going to be a YouTube playlist as well.
Okay, well, go and check that out anyway. So I will just press on, if that's all right. So I'm going to mention the next thing, which is this piece. This came out on make.wordpress.org. It's quite a lot of news in the accessibility space. I've got another piece in a moment. In fact, there's a few bits, including the CloudFest hackathon. That's got some accessibility news, which we did cover on a bit last week. But this is Joe Dolson, who writes Accessibility Improvements in WordPress 6.8. Honestly, I started reading it with a mind to putting the highlights into this podcast. And you can see I've sort of highlighted bits in yellow here, there, and everywhere. And then I just basically kind of about there, I thought, whoa, no, this is too much to mention it. So what I'm basically going to do is I'm going to push everybody in the direction of this article. If you've got any interest in accessibility and the WordPress core project, then go and have a look at this. So 6.8 dropping, you know, real soon. And the amount of work which has been done, not just by Joe, but anybody else who's contributed from an accessibility point of view, it really is a lot. So there's lots of little line items, some of them more impactful than others. So there's lots of things been added to core. These are all the bits and pieces that have been added to core. There's a whole bunch of stuff which has been added to the customizer, to the sort of editing interface, a bunch of miscellaneous stuff. And themes, and then we move into Gutenberg and blocks. So particular blocks have received certain attention and what have you. Anyway, what I basically drew from this is there's too many bits and pieces to mention, which is phenomenal. I think that's we can be very proud of the team for doing that. But also, you know, this is just an ongoing thing. This will probably be a job of work that never, ever ends. But it's really nice to see that there's a whole bunch of people working on that. So that's really all I've got to say. I don't know if Bob, Michelle, Corey, you've got anything to add to that. If so, dive in.
Happy to see it.
Just happy to see it
right now. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, when I was doing my homework, this pretty much took up the entire amount.
Yeah.
Of it, and I was looking at
the There's a lot to see.
Yeah, and some of it, right, really impactful in certain ways. And again, I could mention particular things, but no, I just won't bother. But loads and loads of sort of like quality of life things that you may not notice, but are just being added into, I don't know, like the text that a screen reader might read out inside the admin UI, just to make it slightly clearer to somebody who's trying to interact with a setting, for example, or some aspect of the block editor, just to make it easier to understand what's going on, as well as much more profound things, which really, you know, make it better for the website on the front end as well. So once more, accessibility improvements in WordPress 6.8 by Joe Dolson on make.wordpress.org. Sticking with Joe, Joe and I have started a show. We're five episodes in, I think five. Hang on. Yeah, here we go. We're five episodes in. We came up with the most breathtakingly original name. We called it The Accessibility Show with Joe Dolson.
Where do you come up with this?
I don't know. I had a real moment of epiphany. Yeah, I think I took some LSD or something and just sort of really had a real zen moment.
Maybe you should.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. Yeah, it's okay. I came up with that title, but it does what it says on the tin. It's Joe Dolson talking about accessibility. And each of the shows that we've had so far has been Joe finding a particular thing inside WordPress, so navigation menus, pop-ups, cookie banners, that kind of thing. But we decided to go a bit different this time around because I don't know if you've been following on YouTube, AI and WordPress is a pretty big thing. Like people trying to make things, you know, use AI to create a website, use AI to create a SaaS app, those kind of things. And Jamie Marsland, a few weeks ago, decided that Jamie Marsden, if you don't know who Jamie is, he's the official WordPress YouTuber. He's employed by Automattic to monitor and create content at the WordPress YouTube channel. He created a video in which he took his personal website, so jamiemarsland.com, and went through AI to do that. And he used WordPress to contain the content. And he used a system, which I confess I've never used because I don't basically use any AI, called Lovable, which is all the hotness, I think. In Europe, it's a European thing, and it's growing at some astronomical rate. And he put the website out. And during the period where he was talking to the AI and asking it to do things, he specifically said, make it accessible. So I thought, would it be interesting if we see if it's accessible or not? And so with his permission, I got Joe to go through the website and, you know, see if it was accessible. What do you reckon? Thumbs up, it was perfectly accessible. Thumbs down, it had things that needed fixing. What do you reckon?
There's never such thing as perfectly accessible. No. So I'm going to give it a thumbs down.
Yeah, well, okay, I'll give you a bit of a thumbs down. It was interesting. It wasn't terrible. So that's one thing. It definitely, definitely took cues from things that ought to be done. But one of the things that Joe noticed, because he's in this every day, all day, every day, he noticed, surprise, surprise, it basically made the same mistakes that humans do. And when you think about that, that kind of adds up, doesn't it? Because it's taking its data points, its LLM is being created off the back of human-created websites. And so it didn't do a diabolical job, but it did, you know, an all right kind of job, but it definitely wasn't perfect. So if you're into accessibility and you want to see how AI is performing in the month of March 2025, it's definitely worth checking out. It's about half an hour long. And any of you using AI to build your websites or your plugins, Corey, dare I say?
I am, yep.
Yep. How's it going?
Let me ask the AI. It's fine from my perspective. The AI might feel differently. It's great. I definitely this kind of aspect is going to be challenging and ongoing. But I mean, as you said, since it's kind of analogous to the, it makes a lot of the same mistakes that humans make, which kind of makes sense given that the information it has is based on humans. I see the challenges being the same. But using AI to write code has made a huge difference for me, certainly.
Oh, that's fascinating. Okay. And
yeah. I've got a plugin. I've got an app that I'm not telling anybody about because I actually want to rebuild it again already. But so I've spent the last couple of months using, sort of ramping up my use of AI to like learn how to do it well. And so built a little time tracking app that was built pretty much entirely by AI, and then rebuilt timerduro.com, which is my productivity timer app that I rebuild at least every couple of years, usually using whatever new tech I want to learn. And so that's largely built by AI. Like, it needed a little guidance. I was definitely the senior developer and it was kind of the junior developer, but
let's hope it stays that way.
Yeah, I mean, as long as I'm still employed, then great. But
yeah,
its role can change. But yeah, and then actually, like, I've been having to use it more and more for even breaking out of the code that's in front of us. And then, like, this weekend, I pushed a big server update to MexicanTrain.online is like a game,
an online game that I have.
And I've spoke about, right? So the server hadn't been updated in a long time, and it was getting more and more, making me more and more nervous. So used AI to help me work through, like, what of this code will no longer run on PHP 7 now that I'm updating to PHP 8, and it helped me work through a bunch of things. It wasn't 100%, but then when I actually push it to the server, and as always happens, there's always some other something.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there asking AI, like, hey, what do you think might be the issue here? And it said, oh, well, try this, you know? And so again, just having the ultimate rubber duck who actually speaks back, helping me figure out, you know, and then even update, I needed to update Node. Sorry, I know I'm rambling here, but.
No, it's good.
You know, so I'm in an editor where I've got PHP and JavaScript in front of me, but I'm talking to the chat in my IDE saying, hey, I need to update Node on the server. What do I do? And it was like, here are your commands, and it failed. And I'm like, nope, didn't work. Here are the errors. It said, okay, let's run this to uninstall it and reinstall it and then do this and this, try this. Like, I mean, we had to try 8 different things. And this previously would have been me Googling and copying and pasting, and or jumping into the development post status channel and being like, somebody help, you know, and we muddled through it.
I'm kind of sanguine ish about AI, but you know, it was kind of interesting watching this video with Joe, or doing the video with Joe, though, because it wasn't terrible, but it wasn't perfect either. But it was right. Kind of that intuition that if you just tell the AI to make it accessible, and I think more or less they were the words that Jamie used, something along those lines, you know, just one little prompt,
right?
And then sort of assuming that it had done a job. Well, in fact, it did. It really did put elements in that needed to be in, but just didn't get everything quite right. But I guess that's no different from a human. And
well, that's it, right? Like, I equate it to like doing a code test, and so I'm a developer and I only think about ones and zeros. But having somebody come to me and say, build a plugin that makes, you know, all the buttons in the WordPress admin blue. I will do it, but they'll come back and they'll be like, oh, that's the wrong blue. And I'm like, well, you didn't tell me what blue to make them, you know, or whatever dumb comparison. So the more detail, the better. And to me, I'm finding most of the tutorials that you see online are like, write this long spec. And I'm like, okay, that's a great place to start, but you're not going to think of everything unless you worked at Microsoft, where the specs used to be 400 pages. And then frankly, you're going to want to like solve each problem the same way that I, usually a developer, sits down and goes, okay, what are the big problems that I need to solve and make sure that I can solve before I care about what the buttons look like? And so it's, to me, it's more of a process of iterating. And I think it would be the same with this, where you'd go, okay, you know, especially if you could tell the AI, you know, go look at this documentation or go look at this list that is the low-hanging fruit, the easy stuff, the basics, alt tags and things like that. And then step back and go, okay, what are we missing? What's a deep dive here? What other tools can we use to find holes that need plugging, et cetera, et cetera? To me, it would be a process just like anything else.
Well, we'll come onto a tool in a minute that purports to do just that. We'll talk about that in a moment. But just before we do that, I think my slight concern is that we're slowly backing ourselves into a corner a little bit. And maybe that's just the inevitability of it. But I do wonder if in the future, let's say, for example, that WordPress just carries on and it carries on and it's still going in 25 years, no matter what's going on with the AI. I do wonder if it'll get to the point where you won't want to buy a plugin from almost anybody, because you'll just be able to talk the plugin into existence. Like, I don't know, I want a Pomodoro timer app, or I want, I want a thing which will allow me to have an interface to manipulate featured images. And just the mere utterance of those words will make it so, and it will reliably do it and what have you. And all the while, that's great. It's wonderful. That future is brilliant, because all of a sudden anybody can have anything they like, which is the point of life, right, in the Western world. But I don't know if that's the right incentive. You know, if we get to the point where so many of the things that we do are now obsolete because an AI can do them, I'm just not entirely sure that that's for the best. But, you know, it's a more philosophical argument.
Well, to me, I'm viewing it as, I mean, there's a timeline, right? I mean, and there's a point where, what's the movie? It's not Ally. Okay.
No,
the little robot.
Wall-E.
Wally, where ultimately all the humans are just sitting in overstuffed chairs, sipping sodas.
It's ideal in space. Yeah, right. Bring it on. I mean,
how cool would that be? But it's, you know, the how, there are too many ideas, right? It's like saying, you know, build a house, and it's like every house is different. Everybody's idea of a house is different. There's different ways to optimize building a house. And there's complexity underneath, right? So yeah, I think there's going to be, if you say draw a house, most people can sort of draw a square with a triangle on top and maybe a chimney and some windows. You can solve the easy version, right? But the hard problem is probably always going to take at least opinion. And so I think it's us working with AI to build this stuff. And then down the road, ideally, honestly, what you just said is true. In that, like a quote unquote simple problem, like, but I mean, you'd still have to give it guidance, right? A Pomodoro timer, what, in the real world, in the browser, in WordPress, you know, in Mac OS, ... right? But given a few choices, ideally it solves it. And then in theory, we get to move upstream to solve the more complex problems. Like, okay, I want a Pomodoro timer combined with, you know, the time tracking that I do, but also remind me to go eat meals, but also plan all of my meals. And then ultimately build me a chair that floats in space and never ending okay. supply of soda, yeah. You know, but it's like, I think that I'm optimistic, right? And that it helps us move upstream to solve bigger and harder problems more easily, more readily. And you know, maybe we can actually get back to just thinking about the philosophy of things if tech is done for us. I mean, that's the ideal. But
yeah.
Then there's the other, what's the idiocracy, where we all just consume reality television.
Yeah, I mean, it's so Wall-E, isn't it?
It could go either way.
End up sitting on a chair in space.
Scrolling.
You know, few comments.
Built by AI.
Yeah, that's right. A few comments around that. So let's go back. By the way, Cammy's saying that she gets to see Bob twice today. That's quite nice. I don't know if Bob knows that you've seen Cammy twice.
Yeah, I do know that.
Okay, good.
I'm glad she's very optimistic.
Yeah. Okay. AI, according to Dave. Seriously, you can't figure that out yourself? Okay, try this. Yeah, that's kind of, I always get the apology from the AI whenever I use AI and it does something wrong and it doesn't work. It just goes, oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, okay, well, let's start again. It's a very, very sort of polite way of dealing with it. Max says he's been using AI for every day for years, completions, discussions, planning, etc., but only recently completed his first full vibe coding Tori app, which was fun. James Lau, hello. A lot more power to the developer if you can master it. I don't see the difference. It's like having Stack Overflow or the equivalent at my fingertips. Instant results over reading through comments and finding the correct answer. Maya is joining us. She's just saying she's here. She's on the mobile because the internet's not working where she is. Max, again, had a similar story, I guess, to what Corey was just saying. It helped me set up notarization for app building on macOS and all the signing stuff for my Tori app. It was great. I haven't visited Stack Overflow for ages. And keeps going. That was nearly impossible. Sorry, Nathan, that is nearly impossible today. Nearly possible today already. Instant apps. On the other hand, there will be new frontiers. Typesetters are obsolete. Yeah, good point. And nobody wants to give up DTP to go back. What's DTP? What's that acronym mean? DTP. I don't know.
I refuse to Google acronyms anymore.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. Just do AI. Yeah, yeah, exactly. It was almost do the woo, but not quite. People could cook, but restaurants are still semi-busy as there are enough that people want them to do for them. Yeah, that's true. Do you know, it's interesting. I do wonder if high paid jobs will be manual jobs in the future. I do, if you're a plumber, for example, or you work in a restaurant or something like that, something which really sort of probably has elements of automation in it, but not likely. I do wonder if they'll become much more valuable skills because they, the AI cannot do it. So curious. Typically, writing code has been a very well-paid job, hasn't it? But I do wonder if that is going to sort of go in the opposite direction as the AI takes over. I think we always escape to this argument that we'll do difficult, more complex things. Will we, though? I don't know. Right. Let's find out. Corey, can you explain quantum physics for us? I don't know why he wants you to do that. Have I missed something?
The concept that I've now moved on to higher philosophical thinking.
Oh, I see. Since, okay.
I can't be bothered to actually write code anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Just do quantum physics instead. Courtney's joining us. Matt did want WP on the moon. Maybe this is how we get it there with soda. Idiocracy is my favorite movie of all time. And then we got a few hellos. Oh, desktop publishing.
DTP, okay. Yep.
Interesting. But you see, Max, I think we've always had the opportunity to escape to things that the machine or the thing can't do. So in the Victorian era where we had the Industrial Revolution, all of a sudden the technology enabled the machines, if you like, to lift the heavier thing. And so the human body was no longer needed for those difficult, heavy lifting things. So we escaped to the sort of blue collar, white collar work, if you know what I mean. Thanks, Corey. That just sums it up nicely. And but if the human brain is no longer the thing that we escape to as the thing which is, you know, the immutable human thing, where do we go? And it is obviously into a big chair in space. That's
clearly one chair for everybody, though.
Yeah, it's like,
we don't each
chair.
Get individual chairs. Okay, it's like one big love seat.
Okay, one big love seat has got to be the title of this show. Big love seat. That's great. We've got it. Unless somebody comes up with something better, that's going to be the title of the show. Anyway, there we go. So go check it out. I was talking to Joe Dolson, and we started this conversation talking about accessibility and AI.
Oh, that's right. That's how we got here.
Yeah, gosh, we always get here in the end, don't we? The AI conversation. Speaking of accessibility, this popped up on my radar this week, and I'm not entirely sure I'm going to hit the target on this. Perhaps if Miriam or somebody from Elementor is watching, they can give me the heads up. But Elementor, got two pieces from Elementor this week, and it used to be that Elementor was literally mentioned on this show every week for months and months on end, and I haven't really mentioned them in ages, but this is something new that they have introduced, but it's nothing to do with their core offering, their page builder. It's a new product, it seems, and it's called Ally. A11Y, you know, but it's spelled Ally, A-L-L-Y. And it seems to be a web accessibility tool. It's free to use, although I'll just scroll. It's not entirely free to use. You know, there are tiers. If you want to go for the free version, you get a certain amount, like one website activation. And then you can pay in different tiers for more things inside the, I guess, plugin. And really, what they're trying to build is a tool to help you with accessibility on your website. It's being built out in four phases. Sounds like the block editor. But we're in phase one. And that is this sort of usability widget with an accessibility statement. So it's going to try to help you create an accessibility statement for your website, but also give you this widget, which will make some suggestions as to what you can do. Coming down the pike from them will be a scanner, so that it will go through and detect things on your website. So it's not just about that education piece. It's more, here's the education, plus here's what we've spotted on your website, which needs fixing. Phase three is going to be, I guess, remediation. So I presume they're going to try to fix the problems for you, presumably with AI. And then future phases, who knows what they are? They're just called future phases. So, yeah, there you go. I don't know if anybody wants to comment on that, but that seemed a bit left field to me, Elementor doing something like that. But
I suppose it's just pleased thing to see it. I mean, they've got reach. They've got power. Like voice, they've got devs, they've got a community of development behind them. So I love that they're championing this. That's too big of a word, but I'm glad they're putting this to the forefront anyway.
Big enough.
That's a misuse of that phrase, but
done.
They are
okay.
Drawing attention to it and
that'll do.
Taking steps.
We'll go with that. I don't know if this is allied to, see what I did there.
I did.
Yeah, that is not a big word. I was able to use that one.
Why?
I don't know if it's going to be bound to the Elementor page builder. So I don't know if it's only going to be able to inspect Elementor sites or be in some way bound to it. It doesn't seem to imply that, but maybe it is. Again, if anybody from Elementor wants to reach out and let me know, maybe we could do a podcast about it or something. But yeah. Tools for web creators to make websites more accessible.
Nice.
Anybody awesome. Want to comment on that?
Yeah.
While I finish my banana.
I think more of us should be incorporating things like that into the products that we create.
And the more the word is used and more products that are out there, as Michelle said, like none of them are going to be perfect and whatnot, but you know, anything we can do to draw attention to this stuff is just crucial. Because it's still not important enough.
Yep. It's definitely not getting the attention it needs.
Never has. Probably never will. But every step is a step.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. If nobody's got anything else to add on that, we will move on quickly.
Thanks.
Yeah. All right. Okay. This is a bit of self-promotion. Apologies. I've already promoted WP Builds, but I'm promoting It's Back. I sound like Dumbledore or something. It's the Page Builder Summit. We've had 7 versions of it in the past, and we're doing the 8th version. It is at the ingeniously titled URL, pagebuildersummit.com. See how good I am at these brilliant, pithy names? Pagebuildersummit.com. And if I say that loads of times, I'm going to somehow drill it into your head. pagebuildersummit.com, that'll do. I've probably done enough there. And if you go there, you can join the wait list. And if you fill out this form, we'll just keep you updated when all of the announcements about it drop. If you scroll down, you'll be able to see who the speakers are that we've confirmed thus far. I think we've got 35 already organized, something like that.
It's amazing.
Yeah, and more to come. But you can have it. Look, there's David Walmsley, my good friend David Walmsley. I managed to coax him. Had to literally wrestle him to the ground and threaten to beat him up. But he's back, which I'm really pleased about. And some familiar
friends. Kind of like Christmas tree.
It's Cammy. She's on the call. You're like, I mean, Bob was seeing her twice today. Do you know that? Just in case. Anything you didn't know.
And, scroll it up and scroll it down and be more kind.
Yeah, there she is again. three, four. This is really nice. So Luke Carbis, I was sitting opposite a table having a meal with him the other day, and he's like, oh yeah, I'm in the page. I was like, oh great, oh, that's brilliant. So that's quite a nice bit of serendipity. Anyway, there's the people that are coming on so far. As I said, it's happening in May. The dates are the 12th to the 16th of May, 2025. Once more, pagefeldersummit.com. It's a cheap trick, but it works. okay, so there you go. Sign up. And if if you are from a company that would like to sponsor that event, feel free to click this link down here. It says find out more. We are still looking for sponsors to help make the event happen, because, you know, it's really nice when the event actually works out and you're sort of grinding the gears and not getting any reward in exchange for it. So that would be nice. Pagebuildersummit.com. Click that. Yeah.
Is the pagebuildersummit.com in person? Or
no, it is. Do you know, I've thought about that so many times. And no, it's always online. Yeah.
It's online at pagebuildersummit.com.
Thanks. Yeah. The pagebuildersummit.com summit, which is, by the way, just in case you didn't know, thanks. I've just figured out what you're trying to do. It took me ages. It's between the 12th and the 16th of May, 2025. Thanks, Corey. And it's not, it's online. So it'll all be happening on a website near you.
Sorry, Bob.
Pagebuildersummit.com. So, a question about the pagebuildersummit.com.
Thanks, Bob. Which is,
as a, just a, you know, we want to get back to in person, and I look at what Michelle's doing. I look at other online. It seems like they're never, you know, aside from how sponsorships are doing or not, there's never a shortage for people when it comes to online events. Still, I mean, you know, as far as speakers. It seems like you always get a good mass amount of speakers. And I just, you know, it does give that accessibility more to people, easier to be able to speak, not have to worry about traveling somewhere. And yeah. I just wonder if, you know, more people are going to opt out for just online speaking versus flying around everywhere.
Well, the flying around bit, you know, if you happen to live in the same spot as the event that you're attending, like, you know, if it's 10 miles down the road where there's basically no cost, that's something, isn't it? You know, you can attend that. Yeah. But the minute you're getting on a train or a plane and there's a hotel involved, then it really starts to add up, doesn't it? Like, let's take a typical trip to WordCamp Europe. For me, I'd have to get on a train, I'd have to get on a plane, there'd be several nights in hotel. You're immediately getting into the thousands of dollars territory. And I think there'll always be a need for this. Having said all that, I think people do love the in-person events for that different, you know, because you can be in the same room as everybody. So this is more, you know, we don't really lean too much into the networking piece. We do some Zoom calls, but it's more sort of an aside thing. So it's more about turning up, getting the knowledge from the speakers. And one thing that's quite nice is everything's pre-recorded. So the speaker...
And where can they find that?
Well, no.
I heard it was at pagebuildersummit.com.
This is brilliant.
I was the only person who hadn't said it out loud yet, so I had to jump in.
What's great here is that I've now, without you realizing it, I have co-opted you into advertising for me, and all through the mechanism of humor. And now you're all complicit.
Oh, it's a joke, is it?
That was HI, though. That was human intelligence.
That's brilliant. So there it is. 16th. Honestly, that was supposed to be like a 1 minute segment, and we've done at least 10 minutes on the page.
In the comments, Dave wants to know if he needs a web browser to join the summit. You do, Dave, because it is at pagebuildersummit.com.
Yeah, just in case you were thinking you could get to any other website URL apart from pagebuildersummit.com, you can't.
You know what? I'll call him and then just put my phone in front of my computer. Yeah. Then he can just listen.
Yeah, this is perfect. So if you try to go on an aeroplane to the pagebuildersummit.com event, you're not going to succeed. You can get as many hotel rooms as you like. It's not going to be...
Well, no, that's... You could.
You can.
You could do that.
You literally could be anywhere to the town.
That's great. Oh, why didn't you say it was on my area? Okay, I should have tried harder.
I do want to draw an interesting... Or what I think is an interesting point that you just brought up is... Or Bob brought up the like, okay, in-person event versus online event. One of the things that jumped out at me that's very impressive about PageBuilderSummit.com is the number of speakers and the diversity of speakers. Well done. I mean, I wonder that isn't, and also, as you mentioned, the talks are pre-recorded. I wonder if there isn't a correlation, right? So like, I always prefer in-person events. I love the networking and all that kind of stuff. But inversely, having an event online might make it easier to get speakers of more diverse locations and more diverse ability to travel and spend thousands, like you said. So it's sort of an interesting, like maybe there's an advantage there that I personally just hadn't thought about before.
Do you know that bizarrely that thought had not occurred to me before. So the thought, like we always try to make it as diverse as possible. In the past, Michelle has helped us with that endeavor. So we've tried, but I hadn't really joined the dots between an online event and an in-person event. And yeah, I would say it is easier to create a more diverse online event because all you've got to be able to do is submit a video and have something interesting to say. You don't need to be able to dig into your pocket for a hotel, a flight, a visa. So that's an interesting point.
Even if there's a budget to fly somebody there, there's still an implied cost of meals and things like that, you know, unless it's truly an event with a huge, huge budget. So
Yeah, that's interesting. Okay. And what I quite like about the event is that people get to give the best version of their talk as well, because with the best will in the world, I would be very nervous giving a talk. In fact, I would not be able to do it. I would be a shivering wreck, frankly. But with this, talking into a camera, you can, you know, record it and re-record it. We've had that quite a few times, actually, where people have submitted something and then a couple of days later have said, actually, can we scrub that? I want to just submit this other version, which is slightly better in this regard. And so we do that, so long as it sort of doesn't cause too many problems with what we've already done. But anyway, there it is. Well, I won't say the URL. I think we've worn that joke out, but it's that summit at that URL. You know where it is.
Good
so
comment.
That's coming up in May.
That's a good comment, too.
Oh, thank you. Here we go. Yeah. Peachinary, she says she'll be at Summit again next year. And it's also easier to deliver talks regardless of ability. What do you mean by that, Peacha? That's interesting.
I will step in and say that as somebody who travels with a 225-pound scooter and has to get on and off of airplanes and around cities that may or may not be accessible, I can sit right at my home in front of my desk and in front of my camera and record something and send it off anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that Peach's, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Peacha, but I think that has a lot to do with her comment there about accessibility and ability.
I think one of the things that you have to do is kind of manufacture the excitement a little bit more for an online event. So with the real world one, the proximity to other people whom they love and like is more or less enough, isn't it? You know, you go to the event, you hang out with these people and stand around in bars and exchange, you know, conversation. It's brilliant. And ideas and what have you. And there is none of that. So you have to sort of concoct other ways to make it exciting. And so we try to do that a little bit with like bingo and things like that. So yeah, it's intriguing. But okay, I get Peach's comment now. Thank you, Michelle, for explaining that. Anybody else got anything on that thing? He said,
no.
Trying not to say it again. Okay, that was supposed to be very, very short. And now I'm going to promote something else that's happening in London. And Jackson was in the comments earlier. Jackson is doing WPLVN. So it's the meetup that we hold in London each month around the WordPress space. It's called WPLDN. Jackson, who, like I said, was in the comments, he is doing a masterclass all about block theming for WooCommerce. If you want to find out more, you can go to wpldn.uk/masterclass. It's happening on the 24th of April. And it'll be an in-person event. So there's a, you know, it's much smaller. There's like only a few seats available. So if you want to get involved with that, then go to that page and find out. Peacher says, that's exactly what I meant, Michelle. Also, carers of other people may find it difficult to travel, but will find online delivery much easier. You see now we've wiped out Corey's entire face by putting that comment there. Only, we just got the, that's great. I love it when people muck around. Oh, damn it. I took it away at the wrong moment. I'm so sorry. Okay, so that's another event that's happening. In the WordPress space, Bighost is Bluehost. They sponsor, as you heard at the beginning, they sponsor this podcast, but don't know exactly what the numbers are, but I think they're pretty massive in terms of their annual turnover. They are in turn a company owned, owned by Newfold Digital. There's a bunch of companies under the Newfold Digital brand. So Yoast, for example, and Bluehost is one of them. If you're a customer of theirs, you'd probably be interested to know that they're moving all of their data from where, I don't know, but it's obviously not from Oracle. But they are moving it all over to Oracle, has been announced in the recent past. I don't know if this matters to anybody. Presumably in the background, it'll all be seamless and you won't notice. But if that was something that you cared about, there you
go. I'm going to use that in the future where I'll be like, I'm moving all my websites from Corey Hosting. And they're like, where was it? Be like, Corey Hosting. But it's put out a press release.
I had to move some websites this weekend and let's just say I'm glad to be doing podcasting as my primary thing these days. It was, I think things went wrong. Let's put it that way. Anyway, there you go. Bluehost, they're going to be working with Oracle. Along with a bunch of other people, CrowdStrike, Cyber Reason, Newfold Digital, who we're talking about, and Palo Alto, they've also recently moved their stuff over there. So obviously things are working out for Oracle. Oracle feels like one of those legacy companies that I don't see anything of Oracle anywhere. But I guess that's primarily because they don't produce stuff that would ever sit in my room, if you know what I mean. Like, they don't produce technology that I can hold or purchase or cameras or anything like that. But they're obviously fairly big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Salesforce, Oracle. I mean, these huge companies that are just kind of behind the scenes with freaking everything.
Yeah.
But you'd have no reason to hear about it necessarily. No. IBM. When was the last time you thought about IBM?
Just now when you said it. Actually,
before that.
Decades. Anyway, there you go. Let's move on. So here's Michelle's idea that she had. I don't know how long this idea has been in the making, Michelle, but cool idea. And it kind of talks to what we were on about a minute ago about.
For sure. Yeah. So I was declined again this year to speak at WordCamp Europe. And I thought, I liked my talk. If anybody's interested in it, I could always just put it out on YouTube and people would be able to consume the content that I was going to create. And then different people said, that's a great idea. But then also, Nishat said, you should do it live so that people can interact with you and you can get better engagement. And then I thought, well, if I'm going to do one live, why don't I? And there's the rejection email from WordCamp Europe said there were over 400 speakers that applied, right? And there's 50 or 60 spots total, maybe, for those kinds of people to speak, people like me. And so I thought, I am clearly not alone. And lots of other people said, I didn't get picked either. And that's fine, right? My ego hurts a little bit, but my feelings are fine. but the thing is, there's so many people who had great talks that they were going to submit, and there's just not room at one event to do those all. And so I thought, why don't I create a virtual stage series between WP speakers and post status? And so starting tomorrow, we have our first virtual stage open rather than call it a webinar series, which just sounds kind of, you know, it really is a virtual stage. I really want people to be able to come listen to it. They will live on YouTube forever, so it will be evergreen content. So if you aren't able to make it live tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern time here in the United States, you will be able to consume it at a later time. But to be able to interact, you would come live to that. And tomorrow, my very first speaker is Chris Reynolds on composable WordPress. So Chris is going to come and speak tomorrow. And since that first application, I have had about six more. So I am gearing up for weekly content, and I'm very excited about it.
Are you going to do it, Michelle, a bit like this show, where it's always predictably at this same time? Because that's, yes. that I think, over time, I think that brings an audience of its own, if you know what I mean. Because it's just same time, same URL. And if you were to do the same
idea.
Thing. Right. Yeah.
And also, like, my schedule needs some predictability to it. So I needed to be able to do something like that as well. And I know that there will be people that say, we can't attend at that time. I am one person. And to be able to do a speaker series like this, I need to be able to be on my game. And so maybe in the future, we'll offer another time for people on the other side of the world. It's a possibility. The inability to pay more people is where I right now am stuck with. I don't want to say stuck with, it sounds terrible, but and an inability to bring other hosts into it. But at least to begin now, for the first few months, it'll be this one series at 11 a.m. East Coast time in the U.S. And I did put, like, in case you are not from, we say East Coast, like the rest of the world understands what that means. But that would be like New York City, Washington, D.C., Atlanta, Georgia. So along the East Coast of the United States, if you were to look that up. But there's all kinds of things coming. And so far, only men have applied. So ladies, get your talks into me so I can have some diversity in my own series, please.
I think that's a really neat idea. I like the idea of doing that, because normally podcasts just drop when they drop, don't they? Bob will be able to speak to this. You sort of make them, edit them, and you put them out whenever they're sort of ready to go. I mean, you may have a day where you put them out or something like that, but
sure.
The idea of doing something live, because basically this show is the same show, but with different content because of what's happened in the news. But yours is it'll be really eclectic, won't it? Each week will be something totally probably unrelated to the previous one, which is nice. Mm-hmm. I think that's quite nice.
Yeah. Will they'll actually be like a WordCamp talk where they're introduced and then they pretty much take the stage and run with it.
Yep. And then I will come back at the end and do Q&A with them. So, yeah.
It's a neat idea. And Bob, I don't feel you're doing enough editing work in the WordPress space, frankly, at the moment. So, you know, if Michelle...
Yeah, well, I'll pop over there.
Yeah, you can sort it. And now that you can help the editor. But neat idea. Really neat idea. I think that's brilliant. Just quickly to ask, is that the only kind of content that you will accept? Does somebody have to have been refused to a WordCamp?
No. I mean, it started out thinking that way, but I don't want to close it to people. I would love for this to be open to all those people that, like Peachy said, are unable to travel to give a talk elsewhere as well. And so I would absolutely not turn anybody away. But that's where the idea came from.
Do you have any embargoes around how to describe it? Self-promotion. So let's say somebody's got a talk, but it's basically entirely based upon a product that they've got and pitching it into the marketplace. Do you have any intuitions around that?
I haven't put that out so much yet, but I will be vetting every talk submission to make sure that it isn't just purely self-promotional. And if it is, I will talk to the person who submitted that idea to see if we can keep that to the end and actually talk, you know, bridge a gap in the community that people would want to hear more about besides just, I don't want it to turn into a pitch your idea every week series.
Yeah. And if people were to come, I could get the mug quickly, Corey. If people were to turn up and watch it live, will they be able to comment in the same way that they can on this?
It will be broadcast through YouTube. I'll use StreamYard for that. So absolutely. Nice.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. For Thanks. Sure. Okay. So it should be, I'm really looking forward to it. And I get to meet more people that I don't know by being able to host people who wouldn't necessarily, be where I'm, I don't know what I'm trying to say. But anyway, I get to meet people I haven't met before. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
I know what you mean. That's one of the best things about this show is getting to meet new people. I love it for that reason as much as anything else. Yeah. Like, you know, I would never have met the three of you, I don't think.
Right.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, I showed up at your house once or twice, so I mean, yeah, had honestly, technically, but
the amount of paperwork I had to fill out with the police for that whole thing was really obnoxious, frankly. Sure.
But now we're unlikely friends.
Yeah,
like a kitten and a tiger.
I was sorry I threw those things at you. It turns out it was all benign.
And I will say that this series, because it's through PostStatus, which is now officially a nonprofit. Based out of the Netherlands. I will not be seeking individual sponsors for these kinds of things. But if you'd like to sponsor PostStatus, that's another story. We can talk about getting your name on some things. But ideally, I'm in the wonderful place of not having to look for sponsors for specific content, which I think is great also.
So once again, that is called, let me put it on the screen, WP Speakers Virtual Stage Series. You can find it on the poststatus.com blog. Don't see a date, but it'll be there, I'm sure. And there's the application form if you
want. It's a page. It isn't a
page. It's a page. So. Okay. Right. In which case, it'll be in the show notes. I'll link to it in the show notes. Right. Let's quickly move on. Just a quick hat tip. If you are in a WordPress community and you would like to become the host city of WordCamp Europe, they've now pushed out the date for the 2027 event. Not the date of the event itself. What I mean by that is normally they do it like a year in advance, but this time they're doing it, well, what's that? We're like almost 3 years ahead there. 2027, they want to nail down the event. And so if you're in a WordPress community that satisfies the criteria, head to europe.wordcamp.org. And again, if you just search around for this piece, call for host city 2027, you'll be able to see what it is that you need in order to do that. You need a venue of at least, well, several venues inside one venue, if you like. The main area needs to be able to accommodate 1,200 people, theatre. There needs to be a second area of 400 people, again, theatre, and a third one for 200 for the workshops and things like that. That's all in classroom style. 17 rooms of various sizes. So it's not a small thing. Then you'll know, won't you, if you're in a community that can handle that kind of stuff. So anyway, there we are. Right, let us move on.
And access to proper tea, as Dave in the comments forever.
Next time, send the correct tea bags. What does that mean?
In reference to, I think, me showing up at your house and you throwing things at me.
Yeah, honestly, that's
true. I brought Yorkshire Regular instead of Yorkshire Gold.
Yeah,
I apologize again.
It's an insult, frankly. Bringing the wrong kind of tea to an Englishman's house is tantamount to a declaration of war, Corey.
Apparently so.
And those socks, they were not the standard Argyle, were they? They were slightly different. They had a, you know, and whippets. Oh, I'm getting on to the Yorkshire things. Let me move on. Cloudfest Hackathon. So I'm not going to get into the nuts and the bolts of this, but a couple of weeks ago, I was very lucky. I attended the Cloudfest Hackathon. And, what a room. Like, what a thing. I had never, ever been to an event like that. Like, the main event, the Cloudfest event, is just quite something to behold. It's in a theme park and it's pretty fantastic. You know, Bob can speak to this in a moment. But the hackathon is a separate event inside the event, and it all takes place in one room. And about 110 people, many of whom were developers, but there were other people. So a designer springs to mind. Peacher in the comments, she was there. Courtney was there, who's in the comments, and various other people. And 10 tables were created. The subjects for those 10 tables were predefined. Pitches were predefined. The 110 people who got into the room were filtered in the same way that you were mentioning about speakers, Michelle. I think it went from 400 to 110, so they knew that the people in the room could map to the tables. And the idea was that you press the start and gone at something like 9 o'clock on the first morning, and the project got on with the busy work of doing whatever their project was to do. And the repository, Ray has written up information about each of the 10 tables. So for example, there was a peer-to-peer RAG framework, federated RAG framework. There was a CMS Freedom project. There was a project all about CMS health checks, WP CLI. as an MCP host, refreshing the supply chain, sorry, securing the supply chain for OSS. There were 10, basically. And the one that won, getting back to the subject which has dominated today, really, was accessibility and AI. It was a combination of those two things. And the winning project combined putting an infographic into your WordPress website. You know those infographics where there's just tons of information, but it's a picture? Well, this project would turn that picture into readable text, so you could put it underneath the image as something that somebody, for example, who cannot see, cannot see the image, they'd be able to have it read out by like a screen reader or something like that. They were the winners. And so I thought that was kind of interesting. However, the main point of this, the reason I'm talking about this, was that when everybody turned up, they knew what they were doing, and there was a defined deadline of 2.5 days into the future in order to get it done. And Remkes de Vries this week, let me just find it, here we go. He was in attendance, and he's proposing quite a big change to the way that WordCamp contributor days are run. And what he's basically saying is, would it be better if we had two contributor days kind of running at the same time? A contributor day for those people who know what they're doing and just want to crack on. So let's say that you've been to 3 or 4 of these events before. You don't need to sit and listen to each table's presenters talk about what their table does. You don't need to be instructed in how to, I don't know, get yourself onto the necessary systems for the project that you want to work on. And so he's saying, why don't we have two for basically people who are new or a little bit unfamiliar, and for people who are experienced? The experienced people can just walk in at 9 o'clock in the morning, just get on with it. And the people who are inexperienced can do the work of becoming experienced over time. It's quite a profound change. And having been to the CloudFest hackathon thing, there was definitely a sense of purpose there, which maybe at the contributor days is not necessarily the case, because people, I think, arrive, move from table to table, don't quite know where they want to end up. And so sometimes I think it can be a bit directionless. So I'm opening that up. What do you think to Remkes's idea? And it's got legs.
You know, I think that, I love it, because I was at the hackathon last year, and it's a very intense, these people are not just coding while you're watching them. Some of them stay up half the night to work on other things and stuff. And then by the time CloudFest comes around, a lot of them are just fried. Their brains are fried. They are exhausted, and some of them just go for the hackathon itself. And I like the idea of doing it for WordCamps, but a few of the comments in there in the article that I kind of resonated with was, should these be done as single events initially versus tacking it onto WordCamp? Now there's the good thing about WordCamp is you have the people there, the people coming. It might be harder to get people there. And I think my biggest thing is, getting the people to put this together. It seems, from what I understand, it's a very, to prepare for something like that is enormous than actually doing the event. And that, that involves more volunteers. And I don't know how to kind of ease into it, but by theory, I love the idea. It's a cool thing, and people just really get into it, and they're not maybe wanting the old contributor day because they would rather get into the meat of things through a hackathon. So it's something I think is a great idea. It just obviously would need to really be thought out as far as planning and how WordCamps would have just another piece that they would have to make sure and accomplish.
Yeah. Do you know what's interesting is, because the two things are kind of similar, it's easy to sort of say, why can't we do it more? Why can't we do this thing more like that thing? But the more that you think about it, the more dissimilar they are in many respects. So there's this, for a start, one's 2.5 days or 3 days. Everybody's kind of brought into the room because it's known what the projects are going to be. And so the organizers already know that, well, that person could easily go over to that table or that table. There's a defined goal. It kind of is the event during that time. So it's not kind of overlapping with the other things. And so, yeah, maybe the two things don't really overlap. And there's a couple of comments here. So firstly, Andrew Palmer said he was an observer at the last day and it was amazing. Such talent. Yeah, that's the bit that you're left with, isn't it? That whole, gosh, a lot got done. How could contributor days be more kind of amazing? You know, like Andrew wrote. And then Courtney wrote that Courtney spent 3 days, I'm just going to verbatim read it. We spent 3 days to build the hackathon. If we could do something similar for camps, it really is more than a single day. It should be the event itself. So, yeah, maybe that's the insight here, is that if you want to get something done, a day isn't enough time to do it. Contributor Day is about feeding into WordPress core or the WordPress project or the photo library or, you know, some aspect of it that you can sort of dip in and out of. Whereas this is more, so maybe, I don't know, I like Remkes's idea, because I do like the idea that people would show up and just sort of hive themselves off into this different space and get all nerdy like they do at the hackathon and just get stuff done.
Might I also add, though, that if we're going to do something like this at WordCamps, we have to have reliable Wi-Fi. The last several internet, you know, flagship WordCamps just had either spotty or almost no internet at all. And so for things like photo processing, that became impossible.
Right.
You know, WordCamp US was very difficult. Asia we were not able to this last year. And we've had that happen in Europe before. And so all three flagships have had difficulty with internet for that size of a crowd. So we've got to get better at that before we can actually be truly, productive. Contributor Day or, we just lost Nathan. On Contributor Day or... he's back, and now he's down in the lower right-hand corner. Now
you're muted.
Michelle, you could not make it up. As you said the words, the internet is patchy. For the first time in like 3 years, my internet went, I'm not here anymore. That's so weird.
Your internet went, how dare you?
If I could speak such things into existence, I would also be a millionaire. So let's just at least Nathan's smiling at us. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Michelle, but what you were saying, the resource, it seems like that's kind of another resource that is to get better Wi-Fi, because I imagine it can be done, but it doesn't just you know, magically happen by somebody cranking a wheel faster.
Does that mean we have to have smaller groups participating as well, right? Yeah. So when you have 100 people accessing Wi-Fi, that's perhaps easier than 300 people accessing Wi-Fi. And do we have to say, look, contributor days are great, but we can only have X number of people per group? Like, I don't know, in order to make that work better.
Yeah, it's possible, but just maybe planning, you know, have to really think through all the, because the actual event itself, yeah, it sounds wonderful and it'd be cool to see it happen.
Yeah.
By the way, am I back? Can you still hear me?
Yes, we can now.
Oh, great. Okay. So what happened there was, just before the show, my Elgato lights decided to stop working. And the process of getting them working again is to use the Apple, whatever it's called, this sort of discovery mode. And it briefly turns your device into the Wi-Fi network, and then it sucks out the Wi-Fi password. Anyway, my Mac decided, we're just going to connect to the light for a bit. And so
alrighty,
that's why. Yeah. So
we just kept the conversation going.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Nice. See, froze all the way down. We're fast running out of time. So let me just see if we can get through some more of these bits and pieces. So anyway, we haven't solved that problem, but definitely of interest. And I definitely think Remkes is onto something. There's a there, but I'm not sure what that exactly would look like. But that enthusiasm was totally contagious. There was definitely drive and purpose in that room. Okay, let me see where we can get to. I just want to raise this one. We're not going to go through this at all, but if you're interested in the work that the WP Community Collective have been doing, they had a meeting on the 3rd of March. So it's not exactly brand new, but it's their minutes. And obviously, as a project is beginning, making sure that all the bits and pieces are stacked up so that it's going to operate in a, I don't know, in a professional manner is important. And so you can see the minutes of the first meeting that was held. And I think, what did you say, Michelle? They laid out their...
They adopted their bylaws.
Their bylaws. That was mm-hmm. the phrase I was after.
As okay. a board of directors.
Mm-hmm. Just quickly go back to Courtney there. For WC... Oh, it's my head that's gone now. Oh, nice. Look, I can...
At least
for WordCamp Europe and WordCamp US, we found Contributor Day does better when we drop several internet wires for Core, Meta, and WPTV. That spares the general Wi-Fi. Oh, interesting. Okay, so there's a different set of networks depending on what it is that you're working on. Okay. I won't mention that. I'll mention that again on another week. Back to Elementor very, very quickly. Their latest product offering, V4, which isn't around yet, kind of curious. Elementor, very, very popular tool. I mean, honestly, I think it's responsible for a significant amount of WordPress's growth over the last, well, let's say, 8 years or something. I think if you track those numbers, a lot of it is Elementor and other page builders. They have in more recent times they've been criticized for having divs within divs, and you know the structure of their HTML is, it gets quite complicated, let's say, for the layouts. And so they're taking this on board, and essentially they're going to be leaning into CSS as the first relation, really, for the way that they do their layouts in the future. And it makes you sort of think, well, weren't they doing that in the future? Well, the answer is no. Not as heavily. I think it was divs, and those divs would then receive some sort of CSS. Whereas now all of the different bits and pieces that are on your WordPress website with Elementor are going to receive classes. Those classes are going to govern with the stack and the cascade, what happens. It's all fairly obvious, but it's a totally different way of tooling their product in the future. So I definitely worth checking it out. If you have stopped using Elementor, or you are an Elementor user, big changes coming. It's entitled Why Elementor is Going CSS First, the vision behind Editor V4. And I highlighted a bunch of stuff, but there's no time for that. But it's kind of brings it very much in line with other tools. It's certainly block editor tools that have adopted this approach as well. Speaking of which, I'll just quickly do this. Speaking of CSS, I'm running a podcast with the venerable David Walmsley, who's at the Page Builder Summit. I'm not going to say it.
Not called.
Yeah, thank you. That'll come out well in the transcript. We started a podcast about a year ago, all about exactly that, about leaning into HTML and CSS, just those things for your website. It's called The No Script Show. And if you want to follow us over there, I think we're sort of 17 episodes in. And we have a YouTube channel as well, where we produce content all about just building stuff with HTML, CSS, and very little else, and about how in the future that will probably be enough for more or less anything that you want to do. So there you go. Won't concentrate on that because there isn't enough time. A couple of things on offer. 20% off Rex Themes products, if you're interested. And also some money off WP Funnels, if those two products are of interest. They dropped this week, so I thought I'd mention those. Links will be in the show notes. And then what else is there to say? Just one last thing. I think I might have mentioned this last week. I can't remember, so I've included it again because I honestly couldn't remember. If you started tinkering with a browser a couple of years ago called Arc and were really beguiled by its UX and UI, the project kind of died. It kind of died a slow death. They promised to maintain it, but not update it. If you know what I mean, it would stay as it was, but they would keep it secure and what have you. Well, the exact same UI has been co-opted by this company called Zen, and they've released an identical looking browser. But the novel thing here is it's using Mozilla's Firefox as the underpinnings. So you won't be able to use all of your Chrome extensions or anything like that. But if you were totally wedded to the UI, which I've got to say I was, then this might be a thing that you want to look at. It's just brilliant for organizing things. I know Courtney was a big user. I don't know if she still is, but anyway, zen-browser.app is where
maybe the zen of it is that there aren't extensions.
That's right. It doesn't actually serve up any HTML. It's just a blank screen. It's very calming. Go there and you look up the pagemulasummit.com on that website, you'll see nothing. Got one more in there just before the honestly, that was a lot of mentions. It's totally off. I'm gonna search for that in the transcript and see how many times we mentioned it. Far too many is the answer. Still on Arc. Okay, there we go. Love Arc, says James. Hi, James. And Courtney says she's still on Arc. Yeah, go and have a look. I can't get myself out of the Chrome ecosystem. There's just one or two things that are just too crucial to what I do. It's a bit of a killer, actually. I'm confounded by two or three in particular that I just can't live without. So anyway, go check it out, Courtney. You never know. You might become a prophet. That's it. Unless you three have got things you want to add.
I'm good.
You're good. Oh, look, Corey's got his little promotion. Yours is way more subtle than mine. I feel Bobby's got a t-shirt or something that says, do the world on it. Or
something. I should have worn my status hat. Nathan, you need a mug that says pagebuildersummit.com.
I do need a mug. Oh, I'll tell you what I've got. I've got a slightly beaten up old... But that's from 2020. Oh, that was the first one that we ever did.
You had a pull-up banner behind you last year.
Yeah, I've got a pit. Oh, Corey, look at that.
Pull the jacket out, you know, once in a while.
We don't make enough of those virtual backgrounds. We should all have some massive advert for whatever it is that we're doing. That's it. That's all we've got time for. I appreciate you if you came and enjoyed this conversation with us. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. And of course... Oh, this is going to screw me up. I won't be able to get this right because I'm not in the same place. I won't know where you are. So Bob's easy. And then I'm going to see.
And Tony's
towards your door. Towards your door. Well, he got stuck. So he's just there.
That was perfect.
Yeah. I need a screenshot of this.
Now I'll go like this and I'll freeze. And then...
Can we do the hands? Can we do the hands before we go?
Oh, he's trying.
Oh no, have I frozen again?
Yeah, you froze, pointing at me.
Oh, that's hysterical. Okay, I have no idea what's going on now, apart from the fact that my lights are doing. I am going to ask you, however, if you wouldn't mind giving me your hands, and we'll do that. Ah, Michelle's got the silly ones. That's brilliant. I have enough. Apologies for the technical gremlins. I'm sorry about that. I will go and remonstrate with the internet at large.
Unprofessional.
Yeah.
It's the pieces again. The third time.
We should just all leave.
That's the last thing you see.
Like, what?
Dear me.